And so here we are this week in Parashat Metzorah, Leviticus 13 and 14. And it follows on the heels of two other great parashiot. So last week was Parashat Tazriah. In Leviticus, where it says that when a woman conceives and she'll be unclean. And that's, you know, that's one of those mysteries, but it's not really a mystery, but it's not condemnation either. It is a good thing because she's bringing forth life. But then you've got the other one where the leper finds out, oh, I got leprosy and I got to get out of the camp because he gave birth to something. But what he gave birth to came off of his tongue, and it created a problem for him, and now you got to get out. But that follows the previous parasha, Parashat Shemini, on the eighth day. And so the tabernacle, the Mishkan, I just got to say it again, Mishkan is related to the word Shekhinah, the glory. And it's also related to the word Shachan, neighbor. God was... Don't sing the Mr. Rogers song. God was saying, I'm going to allow you to build this, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to dwell right there in you. Not in the tabernacle. He said, I'm going to dwell in you. And my glory is going to be right there with you. And so on the eighth day, we saw what happened. The sacrifice was made, and isn't it odd? The first sacrifice, they put it up on the altar, and what was missing? There was no fire. They put it up there. They went inside the tent and came out, and Aaron raised bloody hands, and he blessed everybody. And God lit that fire. And that fire did not go out until the days of King Manasseh, and it shouldn't be out today. You know, I just have to take, I'm already going to chase a rabbit this morning. With the destruction of the temple, do you know what the rabbis say? They have said that with the destruction of the temple, the Shekinah, the glory of God, left Jerusalem and went throughout all of the earth, and it spread throughout the earth in sparks. We got to gather sparks because we want to see the glory return to Jerusalem, where all the nations will go and celebrate the Feast of Sukkot with the King of Glory right there in the midst. Okay, I'm going to back up here. Okay, and so the inauguration of the Mishkan, we saw about the lepers and everything. I've already mentioned that. So the lady who gave birth is going to be unclean for a certain amount of time. And Parashat Shemini on the eighth day, but when she gives birth to a son, when does her uncleanness end? On the eighth day. What happens to him on the eighth day? He has been born to her. Now, with the mark of the covenant in his flesh, he is born into the nation of Israel. And that's when he is welcomed into the covenant. Okay, you know, I just got to say this. When our hearts are circumcised by the word of God, we are also brought into the covenant community. What a great God we serve. I'm so excited this morning about the leper and everything. I called JC yesterday. I did. I said, brother, let's just go out and be lepers. And he said, I'm eating supper. Okay. So, I want to start this week. I want to actually go back to last week's parasha to kind of kick it into this week. I want to start with Leviticus 13, 45 and 46. The one with Tzara'at, leprosy, who has the plague mark, should wear torn clothes. The hair of his head is to hang loose. He is to cover his upper lip and cry, unclean, unclean. All the days during which the plague, anybody read that? Negev. means plague. File that away in your memory. All the days during which the Negev, the plague, is on him, he will be unclean. He is unclean. You know, every time it gets repeated, that says something. This is serious here. He is to dwell alone. Outside of the camp will be his dwelling. Well, I'm sorry, not Negev, Nagah. I didn't look at it. So, Nagah, that is actually the same plague. No, it's not either. I'm losing my cuckoo. No, yes, it is. I'm sorry. I was awake half the night. I'm so excited about it. Nagah, that is the plague that fell upon the Egyptian king when he took Sarah away from Abraham, and his skin was burning, and he was on fire, and he was in trouble. But this was not Tzara'at, okay? You remember I said last week about the Tzara'at, if you had a burn, it was a burning burn. So, yeah, this is kind of the same sort of a thing. And so here he has this, and he has to be put outside of the camp. Does anybody know when Tzara'at, the leprosy, is first recorded in Scripture? This is really incredible. With Moses. Well, what in the world caused Moses to get leprosy? God had told him. He said, I'm going to send you. He said, then I'm going to listen to me. Oh, what just came off of your tongue? And God says, you want to talk bad about my people? Stick your arm in your cloak and now take a look. Okay, now put it back. You got any more lip? Which actually he did. Oh, well. You know, we kind of learn a little bit slowly. Later, who is the next one that we see plagued with the Tzara'at? It was Miriam. Because she and Aaron, about Moses marrying an Ethiopian woman. You want to talk about my leader? Out. Get out of the camp. Serious stuff that's going on here. And so, what is in the heart eventually is going to make its way out of our mouths. And Proverbs 18:21, in the tongue there's the power of life and death, and those who use it will eat its fruit. Well, I just don't like what's going on in my life. Okay, well, change what's in your heart, because that'll change what comes out your mouth. Put the Word of God in your mouth. Your reality will change, and that's just the way it is. So the leper is one who brought about his own pain, and he brought about his own expulsion. He was the one who made himself have to get out of the camp. But there's something about this. When he was sent outside of the camp, you know, so often you read something like this, and for years I just never really thought about it. I just thought about him going outside the camp, and he's out there all by him lonesome. But that's not true. You got 6.5 million men, and who knows how many women and children. And you remember, under certain occasions, there were times that people had to go outside of the camp. Like if you had come in contact with a dead body. People die. Somebody's got to take care of the body. And you become unclean. And so, therefore, you have to go outside of the camp, wash your clothes, and then you can come back in the evening and be clean. So it's like, you know, they're there, but it's not anything that they did wrong. It's just, ritually speaking, they just can't be in the presence of God. And, you know, it's like, I had somebody ask me a question for the ABC class. If the lepers touched Yeshua, you know, and he was unclean, wasn't that sin? Well, no, it's not sin. Yeshua was ritually unclean at times. He touched the dead. He had lepers touch him. And others, anyway, I'm chasing a rabbit. I better get back to where I'm going. I got to stick close to my nose or I'm going to do that. There were multitudes out there because they had been made unclean by various contaminations. But even at that, let's say that because there was always a camp outside the camp. If you're in that camp, if you had cared for a relative's dead body and prepared for burial, and you're outside of the camp, and you're righteous, if the leper comes out, Do you want the leper to come up and say, hey, can I hang out with y'all? You go over there. That's your fault. You did that. So he was outside the camp, but he wasn't cast away from the camp. In other words, his expulsion was not complete. He could always come back in. Okay? Well, the others who had been unclean, they knew when they were going to get to come back. But the lepers is like, I don't know when I'm going to get to come back in, because in order for him to come back in, the physical change is going to be manifested by a change that takes place inside of him. And that's just the way it worked. So I want to talk about the cleansing real quickly. Leviticus 14:1. This is bringing us up to Parshat Metzorah. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the ritual for a leper at the time that he is to be cleansed. When it has been reported to the priest shall go outside the camp. All right. The word here for a ritual. Torah. This is the Torah. This is not a mitzvah. This is not a hoch. This is not a mishpat. This is the Torah for the leper. So we're talking about, this is not just a commandment. This is huge, because the Torah is always about one thing, and that's about restoring people back to God. So the leper is not without hope, no matter what he said about somebody. This is all about the Geulah, visible and very public redemption. So, and by the way, you notice it says the day of, well, that doesn't say there the day there, but in the Hebrew it says the day. And why does it have to be the day? Why can't it be at night? You know, he's feeling ashamed, and maybe he'll just kind of squeeze. Let's do it under the cover of darkness. I don't want to. No. Your cleansing, the whole thing has to be done out in public. And the reason it has to be done out in public is because everybody has to know this one who was outside the camp is being restored, and everybody has to receive him in. So the priest, incidentally, I want to make sure that everybody understands something. Can we go back to that? The priest shall go outside the camp. I would invite you to look at the Hebrew on that. The priest didn't go outside the camp. The Hebrew says the priest went to the outer edge of the camp. He still stayed in camp, but he didn't leave it. That's a very important distinction. The leper would be, so if that's the line of the camp, the priest is there, and I'm here, and he's close enough to me, he can look at me and examine me, but the priest doesn't leave the camp. And the leper still does not come inside the camp. Okay, so it's right there at the edge, which is a very important distinction. I'm going to get back to that a little bit later. And so the priest would go and examine him, and he was going to judge him and make a judgment to see, can he come back into the camp now? So his removal from camp was not complete. He's still a part of Israel. Very important. But what about his restoration? Partial? His restoration was full. I got a question in an email this week about people being cut off from Israel. Does that mean death? It does not. Now, there is an instance where it could be, and that's in Numbers chapter 4. And that is, you know, I don't have time to talk about it because I'll be there a long time. So when I get to Numbers, we'll talk about it then. So, all right. So that means that there were going to be witnesses, the priest was going to be there, and then when he was ready, he was going to be brought back in during the daylight. Everybody was going to witness it, and everybody was expected to welcome him in and to everybody to restore him. Well, I'm the one he grumbled against. I'm the one he trash-talked. He was doing, That means that the person who was trash-talked has got to forgive. Because if he doesn't forgive, remember, what's in the heart comes out the mouth. If I don't forgive, what happens to me? I'm next. I'm going to end up with a Tzara'at, and I got to go outside the camp. You know, Yeshua said, if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Forgiveness is the most powerful thing a human being can do. And so the person wanted to make sure that he didn't grumble. Otherwise, he's going to be the next one outside the camp. And so here, the leper stood before the priest. And the priest now had a duty that he had to perform. I want to take a look at Leviticus 14, 7 through 9. I got a lot of scripture this week. He shall then sprinkle, so he examines him, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. You've already read it. You know what's going on, the different things that he's got. He shall then sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed of the eruption and cleanse him. And he shall set the live bird free in an open country. The one who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and bathe in water, and then he shall be clean. Notice that. After that, he may enter the camp, but he must remain outside his tent for 7 days. On the seventh day, he shall shave off all his hair of head, beard, and eyebrows. When he has shaved off all his hair, he shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water. Then he shall be clean. Okay. The process is not complete. And incidentally, it's still not complete just yet. So the one who is to be cleansed would have to go through all of these rituals, the process. So he's declared clean, but we see a little bit later, it's got to happen again. So there's more to it than this. So outside the tent for 7 days, you're brought back into the camp. I sure would like to go inside my tent. I sure would like to be in there with my wife when it's time to sleep, lay my head down on a soft pillow. Gets cold out here. You still got to wait outside because you brought shame upon your wife, brought shame upon your family. You guys still got to kind of have a little time to think about what you've done here. So, I have absolutely lost where I was. Oh, well, but anyway, he's back in the camp and now he is clean. And it would take two rituals for the cleaning to be complete. So, and here it is. It happens on the eighth day. Something very special about that. The eighth day here is a reference to eternity. This is something going on beyond time and space and matter. This is not just a physical thing, because it wasn't a physical thing to begin with. It's almost like you see just a little bit of the yachid pulled back, and you know that this is eternal in significance, not just a here and now moment. Verses 12 through 20 describe what is brought for him and for his final purification, but his final purification is different from the first time, and I made a chart up here. Now, last time I made a chart, it didn't show up. I'm hoping and praying that this one does. Hooray! So the first ritual, two live clean birds were used. Cedar wood was used, crimson thread, and hyssop. There's a Passover connection there. Remember what the hyssop was for? Smearing the blood all over the door frames. And the second ritual, two male lambs, one female lamb, grain offering mixed with oil, and 12 to 21 ounces of oil. This is very different. As a matter of fact, this is starting to look like something else. This is starting to look like something really exciting here. And then, and I'll get to that in a minute. So then, with the sacrifice, the blood was applied to his right ear, to his right thumb, to the right big toe. And after the blood, okay, listen to me now, after the blood came the oil of anointing. Okay, hear me now. After the blood came the anointing. Pretty exciting stuff, I think. And the rest of the oil, after going on his ear, his thumb, and his forehead, the priest would take and would sprinkle it seven times. And then he would take the rest of it in his palm and he would put it on his head, and he would anoint him. Hang on. This is the same ritual that took place when who was sanctified. This is the same ritual that took place when the priests were sanctified. This restoration is more than just a restoration. Now, after everything you've gone through, brother, you okay? Okay, good. So this restoration that you've gone through, you were no longer what you were. You suffered, and you have been restored. Well, we're starting to see a bit of a picture here about something going on. You suffered, you were brought back, and you were restored, and now you are made very much like a priest. And you're expected to declare the praise and the glory of God and to serve God. This is pretty exciting stuff. So, this is our story. This is our song. Okay, I didn't mean that. This is the story of us. We were unclean. We were brought near by the blood of Messiah. And when we were brought near by the blood of Messiah, like the Korban, then he poured himself out upon us and we were anointed. We were the lepers. That's exactly who we were. 1 Peter 2:9. So what happened when this whole process with Messiah? You were a chosen people, the king's Kohanim, the priesthood, a holy nation, the people for God to possess, in order for you to declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, called you outside of the camp, brought you into the camp. That's what happened. Now, I understand, and I want to make sure that this is clarified, because I don't want there any replacement doctrine thinking going on here. To whom was Peter writing? He was writing to the Jews. He was writing to the Jews who believed in the Messiah. But what about those of us who are not Jewish? Are we not part of that kingdom of priests? Yes, we are, because we have been grafted in to Israel. We may not be physically Jewish, but our hearts have been circumcised, like on the eighth day, and we've been brought near and made part of Israel. So, we're not disqualified. And we have a duty. Our duty is to serve Hashem. So here comes the hard part. JC, you're going to know what I'm talking about now. When I called last night and said, brothers, let's go and be lepers. I told you last week, who is the leper nation of the world? It's Israel. The rest of the world looks at Israel and says, you are the most disgusting. You are unclean. You're filth and everything else. You know, I'm going to take off my glasses and say this. When the head of the papacy, when the Pope goes and he meets with the Muslims, he smiles and he says, Jerusalem needs to be a capital for all religions so that it will be a flower that will bloom and produce fruit. Just my opinion. I think it's time for him to go outside the camp. Just my opinion. Not to be cast off. Just you need to move away. And you need to rethink your position on what you're saying here. So Israel is the leper to the nations. If you go to Israel today and you ask them who is the man you hate more than any other, you know, you would think Adolf Hitler. That's easy. The answer is, and they will look you in the eye and they'll say, Yeshu. They don't say Yeshua. They say Yeshu. Yeshu is an acronym for may his name be blotted out. He is the most hated man in all of Israel. He's the leper. Yeshua is the leper to his own people. Isaiah 53, I just got to go back to it again. Isaiah 53, 3 through 6. He was despised, shunned by men, a man of suffering, familiar with disease. What's this disease he's talking about here? This is the leprosy. As one who hides his face from us, he was despised, we held him of no account. Now, I got to go back to this. The vast majority of translations say as one from whom men hide their faces. Do not take my word for this. Go to the Hebrew and look at it. The Hebrew will clearly point out as one who hides, present tense and ongoing, as one who hides his face from us. The Jewish people don't believe because his face is hidden. Same thing in Deuteronomy 31:8. Yet it was our sickness that he bore, our suffering that he endured. We accounted him plagued. You remember that? Smitten and afflicted by God. But he was wounded because of our sins, crushed because of our iniquities. He bore the chastisement that made us whole, and by his bruises we were healed. We all went astray like sheep, each going his own way, and the Lord visited upon him the guilt of us all. He took our leprosy. He took the leprosy of all Israel upon himself, and he has been cast outside of the camp. He is not welcome in. And God is the one who put that punishment on him. Very important element in Parshat Metsora that is missing. And I want to go back to Leviticus 14. Oh, I forgot Isaiah 53:8. Yeah, this is huge. Because of oppression and judgment, he was taken away. There again, removed from the camp. As for his generation, who considered? For he was cut off from the land of the living. Not only was he sent outside of the camp, this time he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, the stroke, the Negah was theirs. There it is. The leper who took. Matter of fact, the rabbis call Yeshua the leper scholar. That's their name for him. They just don't know his name's Yeshua. They have said for years, since Isaiah's, not long after Isaiah's scroll, that the Messiah will be the leper scholar because of this passage. And yet, Yeshua's the leper to him, but they just don't see. He's the one that Isaiah was writing about the whole time. But there's something very, very easy to miss in this whole thing, and I want to show it to you. Leviticus 14:2. This is the Torah of the one with Sarahot in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the Kohen. In order for him to be brought to the Kohen, somebody had to be willing to go outside of the camp to where he was among all the uncleanness and to go to the one who was most despised and be willing to become unclean himself and to come back and bring the leper to the priest. Israel may be the leper to the nations, but God said, I will make you a kingdom of priests. Israel is the high priest of the world. Israel is the high priest of the world. And somebody's got to go out and bring the Metsora. Somebody's got to go out and bring the leper to Israel and say, check him, see if he's clean. How many of us are willing to go out and become unclean for the sake of Messiah? He became unclean for me. He became filthy for all of us. We got to be willing to go out and become filthy to bring him in. Now, it's not that we're going to be filthy, but the world will call us lepers. The world will call us filthy. He said, if people hate you, don't be surprised. They hate me. They're going to hate you on account of me, and it's okay. Well, one quick thing I want to say, and I forgot to put this in my notes, but I got to put this in. In order for the high priest to become the high priest, something had to happen. Moshe couldn't say, okay, man, you're the high priest now. Who made Aaron? In all reality, who made Aaron the high priest? Besides God, God established it, but who did it? It was the people of Israel. The people of Israel were the ones who made his clothing. They made his headband. They made the anointing. They made everything that he would be using. In other words, Aaron could not be the high priest until the people of Israel said, you are the high priest, because the people of Israel had to sanctify him. Yeshua's going to remain the leper of the world until Israel, the priesthood of the nation, says, you are the one that we've been looking for. No longer unclean, but now clean. But we got to be willing to do the work that's going to take for them to do that. And just like what it says in Isaiah 53, we'll be despised, we'll be considered of no account, we're going to suffer, and we're going to be plagued. We're going to have the nagah of the world. And we might even, like Stephen, like Shaul, Paul, like Kepha, Peter, we might even suffer death. Okay. Because you know what Colossians says? Colossians said we're dead anyway. Our lives, he said, Paul wrote to him, he said, you have died and your life is hidden with Messiah. Okay. So if I die going out to bring the leper back in, that's like Brer Rabbit said, throw me in that briar patch. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to die. I want to serve the Lord while I'm here. But when the time comes, if it's tomorrow, okay, that's fine. So, Galatians 2, 19 and 20. Paul said, I've paid the price. I've been crucified with Messiah, and it is no longer I who live, but Messiah who lives in me. In the life I now live in the body, I live by trusting in Ben Elohim, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You know, it's real easy. Yeshua said, freely you have received, now freely give. And people say that's about money. It's not about money. We have received from him a new life. Now we got to give up that life to go and to serve him, to bring the leper back to the camp of Israel, so Israel will say, clean. And you know, you've heard me say this probably 30 times, and that's going to be 31. Yeshua is not coming back until Israel calls him back. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long to gather you as a hen would gather his chicks, but you're not willing. You will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. The work that we have been called to do is extremely important. So, no redemption without pain. That's just the way it is. I'm going to take a look at Hebrews 13, 11 through 15. And I'm going to wrap that. Oh, I'm actually going to finish on time. For the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, brings the blood of animals into the holiest place as a sin offering. But their bodies are burned outside the camp. So too Yeshua suffered death outside the gate in order to make the people holy through his own blood. Therefore, let us go out to him who is outside the camp and share his disgrace. And we'll stop there for a second. There's been a lot of this prosperity doctrine that's been taught. There's been a lot of this, oh, you're going to be the head, not the tail. You're going to be this, you're going to be that. Oh, you become a believer in the Messiah and all your troubles go away. Therefore, let us go out to him who is outside the camp and share his disgrace. and all these guys that are teaching otherwise, please read the word. For we have no permanent city here. On the contrary, we seek the one to come. Through him, therefore, let us offer God a sacrifice of praise continually. That's our reasonable service. So Israel is the high priest of the nations. Won't come outside. They're not going to come outside the camp of their faith. Those who are religious Jews are not going to leave Judaism, and we should not ask them to. No business asking. Walk away from all that. Man, it didn't need any. No. God established them to be what they are. And if we try to pull them away from what God has called them to be, the shame is on us. Not before humanity, but before God. Very serious matter. We've got to bring Yeshua to the edge of the camp, but it's got to be the right camp. It's got to be the right camp. And so when they see him, this is what's going to happen. Isaiah chapter 30. I read it this week and I got so excited about it. Isaiah chapter 30, 18 through 26. Therefore, the Lord shall wait to be gracious to you, and therefore he shall withdraw to have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Fortunate are all who wait for him. I just got to stop here for a second. Is there a time to wait for the Lord? Absolutely, there's a time to wait upon the Lord. But while we're waiting upon the Lord, we still have to be working to build the kingdom. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Well, I got saved, standing before God. And you become saved through the blood of Yeshua, you're going to stand before the Lord. But what about when he says, what'd you do for my kingdom? I got saved when I was 9. What'd you do for my kingdom? I went worship service every week. What'd you do for my kingdom? I prayed before most meals. What'd you do for my kingdom? I celebrated holidays. What did you do for my kingdom? I guess I just waited until I died. If we're waiting on God, it better be for the right reason. God is waiting on us. He is waiting on us to go outside the camp and bring in Mashiach. So back to where I was. And here it is. I love this. For a nation shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall not weep. He shall be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears you, he shall respond to you. And the Lord shall give you scant bread and water of oppression. Oh, now what are we talking about? In other words, what is Israel going to have to go through again? Where did they get scant water and the bread of affliction? This is in Egypt. Do you know that the rabbis say that Israel is still in the diaspora, still not in Israel? Well, they live there, they own it. But the rabbis have said as long as Messiah has not come, they're still in exile. So there's still an element of Passover that's going to go on here. But look at here. And your teacher shall no longer be concealed from you. Your teacher shall no longer be concealed from you. The day is coming, Messiah is going to say, because, you know, the leper has to cover his face and say, unclean, unclean. And when we take him to the edge of camp and the high priest of nations looks at him and he uncovers his face, they're going to see he's not unclean. And the teacher, Yeshua, is going to be there to teach the word. God in the flesh. And your ears shall hear from behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And to skip to 26, and the light of the moon shall be like the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of the 7 days on the day the Lord shall bind the fracture of his people. and the stroke of their wound, he shall heal. And that day is coming that all the leprosy and all the uncleanness is going to be gone. Israel is going to make their burnt offering of worship before the Lord. And then the rest of the nations can say, we're joining in with you. One last final thing. Passover's coming. God told Moses before he sent him in, he said, this is going to be your sign that I sent you. When you're back at this mountain, you're going to worship me. When we have been set free, our natural response is worship. Let's be worshipers of the King, because he has set us free. And now we have that freedom to choose to be his slave and to say, yes, sir, you send me outside the camp, I'll go. Because it's going to bring about the day when all the uncleanness is going to be washed away, and there will be a fountain in the city of Jerusalem where the nations will be able to wash away their wounds, and the King of Glory is going to be right there, and we're going to get to be with him.